بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with numerous bounties. And one of those great favors is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has dignified us, honored us, by placing us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Keep that place for him, okay? Keep that place for him. He just wants to face the audience. Our identity is that we are the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This ummah has come last of all, but would be the first to enter paradise. And the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not made up of people coming from a specific area, or speaking a specific language, or specific race, or some specific walk of life. No. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is made up of people coming from different areas, different races, speaking different languages, and they are like jasad-e wahid. They are like one body. A body has different parts. The head, the trunk. The head has the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears. The trunk has the hands and the feet. All these different parts of the body, they work for one another. They don't go against one another. This ummah has been given something very special, which had not been given to any previous ummah, and that is ishtimaiyat, collectiveness, to be together. In the days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a Roman. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was an Abyssinian. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a Persian. Some came from the tribe of Aus, some belonged to the tribe of Khizraj, some were Muhajir, some were Ansar, but they were all together. The strength and the power of this ummah is in being together, is in ishtimaiyat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us, don't fight, don't quarrel, or your power would go away. Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't be divided. It is the unity of this ummah. And what is the foundation and basis of being united? The natural outcome of this deen is, deen-e-Islam, that a person, the more and more he follows the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more and more he becomes humble. The more and more he feels that I am nowhere else, and nothing at all. It is a consensus amongst the ulama that after the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, it is the rank of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, I have returned the gratitude of every individual, but the gratitude of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be returned on my behalf by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself on the day of judgment. But Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in spite of having this highest rank in the ummah, he used to pick a blade of grass and say, I wish I was this blade of grass. I wish I was a hair on a moment's body. I wish I was a leaf on a tree. And while Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was saying this, he was speaking from his heart. And who is Abu Bakr? The great scholars say, besides Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, there are only two persons to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam conveyed his salams. One is Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the other is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, there is no Nabi after me. If there had been one, it would have been Umar. And the great scholars, they say, the street, the lane in which Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to go, Shaitan could not dare pass through that lane and street. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to weep, sob, cry in the night time and say, alas, I wish my mother had never given birth to me. Somebody said, oh Umar, it is because of you that this deen is shining. And Umar said, no, it is because of this deen that Umar is shining. One of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni sagheera wa fi ayni nasi kabira. Oh Allah, you humble me in my eyes. Yes, you elevate me in the eyes of the rest of the people. Every individual of the society was erasing his status. And when can this condition come into a person? The ulama say, Jibreel alayhi salam, if he comes into his actual form, his head would touch Arsh-e Mu'alla, his feet in Taht-us-Sara. If Jibreel alayhi salam opens one of his wings out of 600, the entire east would be hidden. If he opens the other wing, the entire west would be hidden. But when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, because of this awe, it is Allah's command, Jibreel alayhi salam shrinks and becomes like a small bird. The more and more the ma'rifat of Allah, the recognition of Allah opens up, the more and more a person would find how small I am. Greatness is only for Allah. Greatness belongs to Allah. Greatness is Allah's attribute. It is Allah's quality. Allahu Akbar. And none can compete in this. And the one who tries to compete, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy him. La ilaha illallah. This is the kalima of ma'rifat. La ilaha illallah. This is the kalima which starts with la. There's a negation first, a denial first, a refusal first. La. Whatever is besides Allah is the other of Allah, is the ghair of Allah. It has been made. It is a part of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. And the rest is the creation. As the entire creation needed Allah's will to come into existence, similarly, the entire creation, it needs Allah's will to do anything. The entire creation is totally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the contrary, is totally independent to do anything, whatever He wants. Every single particle on the earth is under the control and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single particle. Not a single leaf can move without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is happening here is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makhluk is makhluk. No matter how powerful the makhluk may appear, no matter how powerful and mighty the makhluk may be, no matter how lofty the makhluk may appear, it has no standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What the makhluk desires is merely a desire. But what Allah desires, it happens. It is Allah's command. It is Allah's order. It is Allah's will. This universe belongs to Allah. As all alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe. Similarly, it is all alone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is regulating the affairs of this dunya. Everything is in the control and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during his 23 years of prophethood, he spent 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama, 10 years in Medina Munawwara. More time was spent in Makkah Mukarrama, whereas most of the commandments, they came in Medina Munawwara. Most of the commandments. What was happening in Makkah Mukarrama? What was happening? Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, ta'allamna al-Iman. We were learning Iman. We were inculcating the reality and the haqiqat of La ilaha illallah within our hearts. Iman, the words of Iman, very valuable, very precious, very important. But words are merely words. Words direct and point towards the reality. The haqiqat, the reality has to be achieved after a lot of struggle, strive and efforts. The place for words is the tongue. But the place for haqiqat is the heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this effect, within the human body is a piece of flesh. If this is rectified, the whole body goes right. And if this piece of flesh goes wrong, the whole body goes wrong. And this piece of flesh is the heart. The rectification of the heart is, within this heart should be only Allah and nothing else. The worldly things around us, possessions, provisions, positions, when a person leans towards these materialistic things, then the heart becomes impure. It becomes corrupt. And Allah says in the Quran, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, run towards Allah, the one who is doing everything. Allah is our Lord. Allah is our Master. Allah is our Sustainer. Allah is our Nourisher. It is Allah who protects us. It is Allah who heals us. It is Allah who guides us. Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot do anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so appreciative. The one who just takes the name of Allah can never ever be deprived. The one who takes the name of Allah in front of a gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his name in front of the malaika. The one who quietly, secretly, within his heart, takes the name of Allah, then Allah quietly takes his name. The one who is for Allah, Allah is for him. The one who is for Allah, Allah is for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly says in the holy book, in the noble Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَى. If you leave Allah on one side and you want to pass your life according to your own desires and wishes, this life would become miserable, unsuccessful, a failure. It would be narrowed down. Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can do nothing. The one who gains Allah, he gains everything. The one who loses Allah, he loses everything. Previously, it was the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam who was sent down to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is now the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would do the efforts of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, would do the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greatness and grandeur belongs to Allah. Might and authority is for Allah. Praises and purity is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allama Shabir Usmani rahmatullah alayh, he has written that if all the trees of the world were to be cut and turned into pen, and all the oceans turned into ink, and seven more oceans to assist it, and the entire creation made to write all that displays and portrays the greatness, the virtues, the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those engaged in writing may spend their entire life. The pens would break, the ink would exhaust, but the words and praises and virtues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never end. It is the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to do the same efforts and work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Da'wat ila Allah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدُوُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell your people that this is my way to invite towards the oneness and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hikmat, with wisdom, with basirat. This is my way and the way of my followers, of my ummah. This is our objective of life. This ummah has been chosen for this work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word He has used for us in the Holy Quran, huwajtabakum, we have been chosen, we have been selected for that work which previously was done by Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. When this ummah was on its job, on its work, everything which has a specific objective, it has its value till it's on its objective and purpose. It loses its objective, it loses its value. We have these electrical appliances over our head, the fan, the light. If they lose the objective, they are no longer on the work, then what do? We try to fix them up. If not possible, we remove them. They have lost their value. This ummah was on its work and job. It was over the entire world. It neglected, it forgot its purpose of life. And now the status of Ummah is in front of us. We have given more importance to the worldly affairs. We are so absorbed in the materialistic world today, we have forgotten our purpose of life. We have left our job. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave it such a high status. And the result in front of us, the only way is that every individual of this Ummah should be back on its job. The objective of a life of this Ummah should be in front of us. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were here to call towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were here to show the rest of the humanity the right way. We ourselves forgot our way. We lost our way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this effect, when my ummah gives more importance to this dunya, then the importance of akhirat would go away. It is this dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this effect, I don't fear fair mine on my ummah. What I fear is that the world with all its luxuries would open up on my ummah and my ummah would go astray. Beware of this dunya. It does more magic rather than Harut and Marut. This dunya is the home for whom who has no home in the hereafter. This dunya is the wealth for whom who has no wealth in the hereafter. And he is going to accumulate wealth in this dunya who has no intellect at all. The love of this dunya is the root cause of every evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us, a time is going to come on my ummah, as the hungry people, they jump on food, the disbelievers would jump on my ummah. The Sahaba, they were surprised. Ya Rasulullah, would the Muslims of that time be very few in number? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, no, they would be in a very large number, but their state would be like the foam on the sea. Why? A disease of Wahan would become epidemic amongst them. What is the disease of Wahan? And the reply was, Hubb al-dunya wa karahiyat al-maut. The love for this dunya and the fear of death. When this disease creeps in my ummah, then my ummah stands no chance to face the enemies. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is encouraging, exhorting, Kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb wa aabiru sabeel. You live your life in this dunya like a traveler, rather like a roadside traveler. We are so involved in the routine things of this world now. Even then we have very little time left to ponder. Why have we come here in this dunya? What is our purpose of life? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, such a high rank, Allah has elevated us. The ummah, this ummah would be walking in the day of judgment, and the rest of the ummah while watching us, this ummah of Rasulullah Sallam would exclaim, "Who are these people? Their faces are shining like the faces of Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam." And it would be the summat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Haji Abdul Wahab sahab damat barakatuh was saying, "Yes, all the difficulties, calamities which are befalling us is because we have gone away from our real objective of life. Da'wat ilallah." But Haji sahab was saying, "No doubt we are passing through a crucial period, a very critical time. But nothing to be dismayed, nothing to lose hopes, not to despair. There are good times yet to come. To wait for the good times is the best form of ibadat, one of the best forms of ibadat." And Haji sahab was saying, "The darkest part of the night is just before Subah Sadiq. The darkest part of the night. It is a sign, yes, the sun is going to rise very soon. Not to be despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When such occasions arise, what we have to do? Rujoo ila Allah. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make lot of repentance and istighfar. And come on our own objective of life. Da'wat ila Allah. We have to do it. Difficult times have come previously on this ummah." Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he was asked, "What was the most difficult time as a ummah did you all encounter?" And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "The most difficult time we encountered was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he left us. He departed from us." And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he says, "When I came to Masjid al-Nabawi at that occasion, I saw the entire Sahaba in total doldrums, total confusion. I entered the house of my daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I uncovered his face, I kissed his forehead and said, 'Ya Rasulullah, when you were amongst us, you were beautiful. You have departed, yet you are beautiful.' Then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, 'I came to Masjid al-Nabawi. I saw Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu roaming in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi. I saw Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in one corner of the masjid, sitting like a statue. Not even his eyes were blinking. And then I saw Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu waving his sword, saying, 'Those who say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has died, has passed away, very soon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to return. He is going to chop off the hands and feet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone to meet the Lord as Musa alayhi salam went on tour to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.' And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, 'Our condition at that time had become such that in a very cold night, raining heavily, a herd of sheep and goats, as they pushed their heads into one another, that was our condition.' Then Abu Bakr was asked, 'What did you do?' He said, 'I climbed the minbar, called everyone together, called Umar, and I recited the verses of the Quran. 'Wama Muhammadun illa Rasul qad khalat min qablihi Rasul.' And in very clear words I said, 'Those who worshipped Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let there be known he has passed away. And those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let them be known, He is from ever and ever. To turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing, we have to beg and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to supplicate and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can help us. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can change our conditions. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can guide us. Turn to Allah, make istighfar, and let every individual of this ummah come on the objective of the ummah, that is da'wat in Allah. And for that, as the Sahaba, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, he says, at the time of Hajjatul Wida, there were 124,000 Sahaba present. And out of these 124,000 Sahaba, only 10,000, 12,000 Sahaba's graves could be found in Madina Munawwara, in Makkah Muazzama, and the adjoining areas. Where are the rest? Throughout the world, their graves bear witness. They left Madina Munawwara, went out to carry the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the four corners of the world. The same job is for us. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahab rahmatullah alayhi has written, if we Muslims of this time just do 10% of what the Sahaba did, Allah's help would be with us as it was with the Sahaba. Just 10%. They went out in the path of Allah. They laid down their lives. Their graves were made over there wherever they went. For us it is easy. We go out for 4 months, 40 days, return back to our homes and localities and try to establish this work in our localities. So all of you are ready for that, inshallah. Inshallah, after Asr, Maghrib and Isha, the Jamaat from Raivind is here and they'll be talking to you. All I request to be here in the evening also.
One announcement, my dear brothers. Alhamdulillah, we're all aware that we have a Jamaat from Raivind in our Merkaz today. Tonight there will be a very important bayan after Asr and after Maghrib. In this Jamaat from Raivind, if you don't know, is one of our Marakis where all the Jamaats go. From throughout the world, they go to this place. The daily crowd we find in Raivind is about 30,000 people every day. In this Jamaat, alhamdulillah, we have the Imam of the Merkaz that is here amongst us also, alhamdulillah. There will be a program tonight also, tomorrow morning. And tomorrow afternoon, there will be a ladies' program taking place on Hartley Road. Exact number of the house, I don't know. But we find the cars over there. Tomorrow at 3:30, there will be a program taking place for ladies, inshallah. We request the brothers to take part in the program and send the ladies also. And tonight Salatul Isha will be delayed till 8:15, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah.